The Subscription Box Show, episode 86.
Hey, this is Billy from Try Beauty Box. And if you want to learn how anyone can start or grow a successful subscription box, then you have to listen to The Subscription Box Show with my good friend, Eric Music.
There's a lot to learn when it comes to e-commerce and subscription boxes. Whether you're a new or existing business, your list of questions can seem endless and daunting. Welcome to the Subscription Box Show, where you'll hear high-quality, unbiased views and strategies from top industry leaders. Whether we're talking one-on-one with business professionals or deep diving into thought-provoking case studies, we'll find the answers to your questions, because this is the show you've been waiting for. Now, let's think inside the box with your host, Eric Music.
Welcome to the Subscription Box Show. I'm your host, Eric Music, and I want to help you build, grow, and even start your very own subscription box business. Tune in 3 days a week as I interview the top entrepreneurs, leaders, and subscription box owners in the industry. You'll be able to take their knowledge, experience, and expertise and apply it to your business. In this episode, I have the privilege of talking with one of the smartest and most strategic subscription box owners I've ever met, and who's done it all with a $300 starting budget. Someone who scoured the internet for information and quite literally Googled her way to success. Voted 2019's best Canadian beauty box, originally from Nigeria, now making her home in Toronto, Canada, owner and founder of Tribe Beauty Box, Billy Bologan. And if her name sounds familiar, it should. Billy was our guest host for episode 78, which was our Black Friday special. So go and give that a listen if you haven't already. Billy drops a ton of gold on how to prepare for Black Friday. Anything but conventional, Billy Bologan is a budding beauty maven who has built a global brand in a noisy industry, leveraging the power of community. Billy took the big leap to start her business 2 weeks after her college graduation in November of 2017. Only 25 years old, Billy has bootstrapped her business from zero to thousands of subscribers. Surrounding herself with a network of professionals who do it best, her focus has been on building a business of accessibility and empowerment. Tribe Beauty Box is a feel-good box that celebrates empowering female-owned beauty brands in every bi-monthly shipment. The selection of products from indie and female-owned brands is thoughtfully curated with purpose and intent, focusing on quality over brand name and curation over hype. Tribe Beauty Box only includes cruelty-free products, and at least 4 products from every box are from female-run beauty brands. Billy has been making some big waves ever since she stormed into the subscription industry just a few short years ago. Billy and Tribe Beauty Box have now been featured in Flair, Women in Color, Pop Sugar, Harper's Bazaar, Shopify, and much, much more. In this interview, Billy goes out of her way to share as much information that will be able to help you start and scale and show you that with persistence and a willingness to learn, that anyone can succeed in the subscription box industry. Billy has also generously given the listeners of this podcast a very special deal. Visit tribebeautybox.com and enter discount code TSBS at the checkout for 10% off. So thanks, Billy, for that. So I can't wait to share my conversation with Billy with you guys. But first, I want to quickly ask you to please share this podcast with anyone you think would benefit from it. If you know anyone who's thinking of starting, who has started, or is looking to scale their existing subscription box business, then let them know about the show. Best place to send them is to this podcast website, thesubscriptionboxshow.com, where they can catch up on every single episode and get a hold of me with any further questions. If you haven't already, please make sure to also join our Facebook group community, where we talk boxes, talk business, share ideas and articles that have helped us, and build real relationships and a community for us subscription box entrepreneurs. Also, if you like this show, please go ahead and give it a rating and review on iTunes, or at the very least, please hit that follow or subscribe button on your favorite podcast player. The downloads and reviews is what keeps this show growing. So thanks in advance for that, and thank you for taking the time out of your lives for listening to this podcast. I'm well aware that you could be listening to anything, so really, I truly appreciate every single one of you. Now, without further ado, let's get into my conversation with founder of Canada's best beauty box in 2019, owner and CEO of Tribe Beauty Box, Billy Bologan. All right, I'm super excited to have today on the podcast, Billy Bologan. She is the founder of Tribe Beauty Box. Billy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Eric. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, this is super fun for me to have you, a fellow Canadian, on the show. I love having some other Canucks that are in the subscription industry. So, Billy, maybe before, for those who have never heard of Tribe Beauty Box, your company, maybe give us a quick snapshot, an elevator pitch of what you guys all do out in Toronto.
Of course. So Tribe Beauty Box is a beauty subscription, but we center it to be a feel-good box that celebrates empowering female-owned beauty brands. And the box goes out every 2 months. So it costs $39.98 and you receive $125 plus worth of products in retail value. So you're definitely rest assured knowing that you're getting your money's worth while you're supporting amazing female brand owners. And how we do that is that every box that goes out, we include at least 4 female-owned brands, as well as indie-owned brands, so they're not owned by any of the big conglomerations. Each box is curated for a balanced mix with the trendiest face, skin, eye, lip, and tools in the industry. And we're also a cruelty-free box because we truly do believe that you can be absolutely beautiful without harming animals. And our goal really is just to help you discover the next best thing in the beauty industry with an amazing mix of high-quality products.
Yeah, I love that. And there's a lot in there I want to unpack during the interview, during the course of the interview. One of the things that stood out to me was your price point, which was great if you compare that to the value you're getting, which is over $125 American. So we'll get into that. I want to talk about margins and those kind of things and how you reach out to your suppliers. But maybe for context before, Billy, maybe tell us a little bit about your background. You're in Toronto now. Did you always grow up there? Maybe tell us where you grew up. Were you always entrepreneurial, that sort of thing? And give us a little bit about your background.
I actually grew up in Lagos, Nigeria. So my parents are both entrepreneurs. My dad has actually never worked for anyone in his life, which is very hypothetical because he always wants me to go out there and get a job, but he's never gotten one. So my dad's in marine and my mom is in the catering business. So they've always been there and I've seen how it's like with the ups and downs of business. I've seen very, very low times with my parents and very high, amazing times. So it's sort of something I grew up with. And I think it was only natural that I sort of ventured out there to run my own business. So I actually started Tribe Beauty Box 2 weeks after I graduated college. In 2013, I moved to Canada, Toronto specifically, for my undergrad. I went to U of T where I majored in political science. Again, very funny because now I'm in like sales, marketing.
No kidding.
So I graduated and my mom was here and she's like, what do you want to do next? I'm like, you know, I just want to try my hand at starting a business because I have the time to make mistakes, which is really important. And I had supportive parents who were okay with me, you know, wasting about a year just trying things. So my mom was like, hey, here's a year, do whatever you want to do and we'll do our best to support you. So I launched my business with my own seed funding. I actually launched with $300.
It's amazing.
I was able to bootstrap it through like a pre-sale for the first box. And I saved every single profit until where I am today.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And I wasn't aware that you came to Toronto in 2013. So was that straight from Nigeria when you came to Toronto?
I was here straight from Nigeria. So I was actually in a French private school back home. So I actually learned how to speak French before I learned how to speak English. I was in a French school from the age of 3 and I was fluent in French before I could speak English as well as I do now. And then I had the chance to go to France, but I decided to come to Canada just because it gave me both options of French and English. But then when I moved here, I realized no one really speaks French. So I just speak English all the time now.
Yeah, that kind of makes two of us. Like I speak French at home here. I guess the people in some pockets of Canada would speak French, right? Like Quebec and those things, but probably not as much in Toronto. So are your parents here with you now in Canada or are they still living their lives in Nigeria?
They're living their lives in Nigeria. I'm actually here alone. My family is really unique because I have family all over. My older brother is in Seattle. I have a brother in Italy and I have a brother who just moved home from Germany. So we're sort of spread out.
No kidding.
Our parents wanted us to have second languages, which is why they wanted us to stay in different countries.
Yeah, you know what? That's phenomenal with the Nigerian story, because I've had a few guests now, whether it's Darren Oyekin from Real Paper. He's in California now, but he's from Nigeria. And same city as you. You said Lagos?
Yes, Lagos.
Lagos. Sorry, mispronounced that. Yeah. So from Lagos. And then there was also Keisha Ahige. She's an entrepreneur now in the UK with Jamaican Nigerian roots. Nice. And I'm pretty sure it's Lagos as well. And she is the founder of Imagine Me Stories.
Yeah, it's a big city.
Yeah, and it seems like it's just like a very entrepreneurial.
It's a big city, yeah.
It's a big city, yes. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like everyone there is super entrepreneurial, because everyone that comes on the show, their background from that part of Nigeria is entrepreneurial.
Yeah, the country generally forces you to find different ways of making your income, just because generally as a third world country, unfortunately, minimum wage is pretty low compared to what things actually cost. So you're always forced to find different sources of income, be that like a separate business or passive income. So everyone's super hands-on, very entrepreneurial. Everyone has little something going on, even if you're just selling like earrings or you have a full-fledged store, there's always something.
Yeah, I love that. So you come over to Canada, you go to school in Toronto, U of T, you graduate. How long were you at U of T for? Because you got here in 2013. Is that in 2017 for 4 years?
Yeah, I was correct. I did 4.5 years. I did a summer. So I graduated in November 2017.
Congrats. And then you go into a completely different sector. You go into sales and marketing.
Yeah.
Isn't that like, it's pretty common now, I guess. So tell me about your journey into Tribe Beauty Box. Is this something that was in the back of your mind for a long time? And why the subscription industry? How did you get connected in there?
Well, to be honest, I was receiving some other subscription boxes just out of transparency. I used to get BoxyCharm and Ipsy. And I always felt a bit of a disconnect between what I was receiving and my knowledge of the brand. So obviously there would be that insert card that tells you what the product is, but I didn't know anything about the brand. I didn't know anything about their story. And the kind of person that I am, I go into like a TJ Maxx or like a Walmart and pick something that I've literally never seen before just to try it out. I don't care if I don't use it. I'm just curious like that. So I felt that the subscription boxes that I was receiving, those two and others, weren't really feeding my curiosity. And I just really wanted to connect with more female-owned brands, because at the time, that was something that I was actively trying to do. I was actively trying to put my money in that community of small female-owned brands. So I thought there was definitely an opportunity in the market for a box that catered to people just like myself who are into smaller companies, mom and dad shops, who will walk into a store in any country they've never been, just pick up something out of curiosity versus only wanting big brand names or a brand that you already know. Because what's the point of a mystery box or a subscription box if you already know everything you're going to get? So I was on vacation in San Francisco that summer. And I just watched every single video I could find about subscription boxes. I read every single article. Literally, I know every article that's on the internet about subscription boxes. And truly and honestly, that was enough for me to launch my box. I did the pre-launch method, pre-sales. So even if I didn't have the budget to buy inventory, I had emails that I had raised. So I created a pre-launch page on Kickoff Labs, which is a really great program. I always recommend it to all my friends who are doing any kind of product launches, and I still use it to this day. I did a mock-up of what my website would ideally look like. Now I use Shopify. I put in my product offering, what was my differentiator, my value proposition, what makes me stand out, and I shot that in every single Facebook beauty group that would let me post without deleting it. I got blocked from some groups, but I put it there and I told myself, I'm like, listen, if you get 1,500 emails, you're going to launch this business. And in 3 weeks, I got 2,500 emails, I believe. And I was like, okay, great. So this idea has been validated. Obviously, people are looking for these products, this vision that I have, they're in line with it. So it's time to launch. So I worked out some suppliers. I literally did a list of like 500 brands and emails. I emailed every single one of them. Wow. Maybe like 20 something of them got back to me because I was so small. They didn't know who I was. I had no social network. I had no footprint. I had no connections in the beauty industry. So a couple of them reach out and, you know, I was like, hey, can I order a couple of units? And they're like, yeah, this is the pricing. Obviously, unit price was high, but I was able to just negotiate it with like long-term agreements and dictate, if I order 50 now, I'll order another like 50 next time and another 100. So let's make that like a total of like, let's say 250, 300. Can you make that work? And then they were like, yeah. So just negotiating my way through it. And I was supposed to launch on December 5th, 2017. But then I woke up literally at 3 a.m. on Black Friday, 2017. I'm like, why am I not launching on the biggest sales day of the year? So I go on Shopify and I literally launch on that day. I built my website from 3 a.m. to like 4 p.m., something crazy like that. Like I literally set up my payments, my recharge, Shopify, the graphics, everything in those couple hours. And then I use MailChimp. I sent the emails to customers like, hey, we're launched now. And I got a couple sales on my first day. I believe I got like 46 sales, something like that, out of 2,500 emails, which is why it's so important to do to raise emails before launching. So I was like, yeah, this is great. So I left it open for about 2 weeks. I think in total, I probably got like 70 sales, something like that, definitely less than 100. Mm-hmm. And then I paid my supplier with the money I got and then shipped the products with the rest. And that's how I built my business.
Yeah, that's incredible. There's a ton of stuff to unpack there. So I want to get into a lot of that stuff.
Yeah,
I want to get into
like
some of the resources you did, some of the methods maybe when it comes to the email list building in the 3 weeks, 2,500 emails, 500 brands, you got 20 to respond. Renegotiating prices and offers and stuff like that. So what we'll do is we'll take a quick break, thank our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to get into those things I just mentioned. And we're going to kind of break
down
exactly how Tri Beauty Box grew and became so popular to now being in the 2019. In 2019, you guys were voted the best Canadian beauty box.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That was great.
So basically just a year and a bit later. So all of this will be right back with Billy from Tri Beauty Box after the break. This episode is sponsored by Subly. Every business is a subscription business, whether you think so or not. That's the mantra of Subly founder and CEO, Stefan Pretty. His goal and vision was to create the first subscription-first e-commerce platform. Subly is for the rock stars of the subscription industry, from the new band starting out to the stadium-playing superstars. Subly is designed to be user-friendly, with no plugins or complicated stacks required. You can use it with your existing website or as an all-in-one solution. It's simple and flexible. Every subscription box is different, and Subly allows you to customize for your specific subscription needs. Subly's for everyone, from small startups to very large companies and everything in between. The company started out bootstrapped and remains so, so it knows what it feels like to start a business and to scale up. Need proof? Well, for starters, you can check out Capterra. Subly is rated 5 stars for a very good reason. Its community is second to none. Just ask any one of their fanatical fans and customers. Subly prides itself in having unparalleled customer support through a community-driven product. Today, Subly is a giant in the subscription industry. Sustaining growth while staying true to their roots, the company's international team is always ready to help when needed. Having top-of-the-line professionals who are able to hold your hand and navigate you through difficult times, especially when you're starting out, makes all the difference. From Buster Box to Bath Box to Model Box and more, find out now why so many entrepreneurs are joining the website platform of choice of the subscription industry's rock stars, Subly. Try Subly for free and make sure to join their Facebook group with over 6,000 members. Search Subscription Box Entrepreneurs on Facebook. Visit Subly.co now to receive your free trial. So if you're ready to start or grow a subscription business like a rock star and want help from the number one subscription e-commerce platform, then visit Subly.co today. Subly, the number one subscription e-commerce platform, period. All right, we are back with Billy Balogun, from the founder of Tri Beauty Box. And before the break, Billy kind of gave us a real long, big overlook of what the business was like and how she grew that. But now we're going to break it down kind of step by step. And we're going to go all the way back to when she had her idea to get Subscription Box into them. She was on holidays in San Francisco and she was starting to consume a lot of Subscription Box content. Just quickly on that part alone, is there a specific resource? You said you read a lot on that. Was there a specific resource that you used to learn more about?
Yeah, honestly, Subscription School, I think it's like subscriptionschool.com, something like that. just on its own has almost every single resource that you need. And a big key was joining the Facebook groups that had subscription box owners where I could ask follow-up questions. So obviously, always do your own initial basic research. And then if you have any questions or any clarifications about that, people are always willing to help. I like to do that because I don't want to be handed out anything. I like to do my research. And then if I need extra help, then I ask.
Yeah, you make a great point there. Too often, I think sometimes people get lazy and they instead of just doing their own research and then asking, they just ask simple questions that you can easily find online. So, yeah. I mean, unless you're really strapped and with maybe you're really, really bootstrapped and you have no access to some of these things. But I think, yeah, do your due diligence, do some research on your own and then follow up with people. And people are way more, they're very much willing to help budding entrepreneurs or starting entrepreneurs for sure. So the next thing you said, you took about 3 weeks to build an email list and your goal was 1500. I think you said you got to 2500. So that is great. Is there a specific method you use to grow your email list that fast? Because those are great numbers.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I could have done it if I had extra funds. I think that you could have easily ran like a lead generation ad on Facebook or Instagram and raised even way more emails than that if you had the budget behind it. But I didn't. What I had for free was the internet and Facebook. Mm-hmm. And on Facebook, I was in a ton of beauty groups, beauty subscription groups, of boxes that already existed, or just beauty lovers group where they just talk about makeup and skincare that they love. So that is literally a hub of your target audience. First of all, I always ask the admins of the Facebook group, like, hey, I'm starting this business. Is it okay if I share a new group? Sometimes they want something back. So maybe you do a giveaway with their audience, something like that. But I didn't get run into that. I posted my links in the group and I probably posted in 50 plus groups. And that's how I was able to get those emails. I literally posted in groups that had like 80, 100,000 members. So that's how I was able to get that many emails.
So that's a great organic kind of hack and trick there for those of you guys who are listening without having to create, if you don't have the money, like you said, you started with $300. It's not like you have a massive budget where you could dump into lead magnets and then push your Facebook ads. You did it just the good old fashioned hard way. You had to do a lot of work and a lot of time. It's a lot of time. So, okay. So now you've got your email list. You mentioned Kickoff Labs and do you want to maybe talk on that before? Because then you eventually switched to Shopify. Sure.
So Kickoff Labs is basically a website. It's like a drag and drop website where you can create landing pages. And a landing page essentially is a place where you collect information from people. So I was collecting first and last name, phone number, email, and birthday. So that was what I was collecting. But the great thing about Kickoff Labs is that they have, and I'm sure they're not the only ones that do it, but I like them. They have this contest part to what they offer, which means that say I actually organically raised 1,000 email. After the person puts in their email, Kickoff Labs tells them, hey, if you share this to 3 people, you get 10, Tribe Beauty Box will give you 10% off your first box. If you share to 50 people, you get like 50% off your first box. So that's a component in Kickoff Labs that I was able to leverage. And I use that to my advantage. So I probably only organically raised maybe half of the emails I got. And then people were sharing it with their friends and their networks just so they could get the perks that were coming along with signing up.
Yeah, that's a great point because it's actually, you're just used that one effort and it multiplied itself, right? That's phenomenal stuff. So yeah, what a great way. Is there a price to that? Is there a free trial or a price to the Kickoff Labs?
I believe they have a free trial, but if you want to remove branding, probably if you also want to take advantage of the contest and things like that, you have to pay. I believe it's something between $59 and $79 a month. Don't quote me on that, but it's definitely in that range.
Yeah. Okay. But it's a great way to do it. I mean, you do it for, even if it costs you that much for a month or two, just to get that pre-launch going. You got a couple thousand, 3,000 emails. I think it's worth it. You can always shut it off after. Yep. How important was your logo? Just to quickly circle back on that, because a lot of people get too focused on some of the very minute details. They really go into want to build the perfect website before they launch and their logo and have the boxes.
So I'll be very honest. My logo cost me $5. I did this a cheap way. I went on Fiverr.com, F-I-V-E-R-R.com. Mm-hmm. And I just got someone overseas and they just did my logo for me for $5. So it's probably a Canva logo, something like that. But I still use a logo today and it works. It's like I've used it for 2.5 years. My customers recognize it. Would I maybe rebrand and get another logo? Maybe, but it works. It does the job, right? So I think that too many people focus on the details and not the core part of the business. I mean, so many businesses look great, but the core functionalities of them don't work.
Right.
You know, like up until today, like we've tried working with like customer service platforms like Zendesk or like Gorgeous and things like that, but Gmail still works for us. Gmail has a tagging tool. It still works for us. And we still use Gmail and we pay $5 a month for a Gmail app versus Gorgeous that would be paying, that it would be charging us probably like close to $100 a month. So I think if it works, don't knock it, you know, as long as it does a good job. There's so many things out there that are just unbelievably affordable that just work.
Yeah, you make a great point. I think there's a time for those things, whether it's fulfillment centers or it's Zendesk or Gorgeous, like help desk.
Yeah.
That rabbit hole of just getting all these different tools starts to add up quickly. In the beginning, you can do a lot of it yourself. You're going to have to wear multiple hats. And I think what you said is brilliant because you said you have to concentrate on the core part of your business, which was not your logo. It wasn't whether you had a Gmail email or whatever. It was that you focused on female-owned beauty products, right?
Yeah. And
there was a need for these things out there, not just the big companies that who you're targeting cared about more about what where you source your product and what kind of quality was your product, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so let's keep it going. We're on a roll here. You talked about reaching out to... So another question we get a lot, right? And you probably get the same thing, Billy, is reaching out to suppliers and how do you get that margin? Because you've got a great margin because if you're dealing with mom and pops or whoever you're dealing with, to get 50% is great, but you're getting over that almost three times or double that. So maybe talk about you reached out to 500 brands and only 20 got back to you?
Yeah. So I had zero subscribers at that point. I was like, hey, I'm about to launch my business. But what I really should have done was that, hey, this is my business and not seem like such a newbie. But to be honest, at that time, I didn't know about platforms like Fair.com and things like that, where there are wholesalers and actual brands who list their products on there. And Fair is a regulated marketplace where you can buy products and you know that you're definitely going to get it. So you're not going to be scammed or anything of that sort. Mm-hmm. So Fair.com is a resource that you can use if you're just starting. But honestly, just reach out to brands who are also just starting and you might be able to work it out. I still work with very, very new brands and I just tell them what my budget is. It's really important for you to actually know manufacturing prices. So I think that this is where a lot of people get misled in this subscription industry is when they don't know the cost of things. So I've opened hundreds of conversations on Alibaba just at posing like I was a buyer or a producer of a product, but I really wasn't. I just wanted to know, hey, if I want 50 of these lipsticks, how much is your cost? So when I go to brands and they ask me, what's your budget? I can match that with what my manufacturer on Alibaba told me, even if I'm not going to buy it from them. Mm-hmm. So that's something that you should definitely take in consideration. Another trick that I've recently learned, and when I say recently, I mean in the past year, is partnering with brands to make exclusive products. If you can find a manufacturer overseas and you find a brand who allows you to white label their brand name, then both of you can come together and create a product that's exclusive to your brand. So if you say if you only have like 100 subscribers, you can definitely get manufacturers that take 100 MOQ. You create a product within your budget and that works for your box. And you can just tailor it as and sell it as an exclusive product that exclusive to your box. So that's another thing that you can do. There's so many ways that you can make it work. But generally, I tell people, like, for me, like, I spend $15 hard cost, like hard limit on my box. And my box is $34.99. And I'm even trying to bring that down to $12. But I want to offer as much value to my subscribers. Like, sometimes I would be at like the $13 mark. And I see that the box is a bit light. Instead of just sending that, I'll just spend the extra $2 and add the product in. Because it's value over your savings. It's value that keeps your customers and not the $2 profit that you just made, because subscription box customers are so hard to get, first of all. And then when you lose them, they're hard to win back. So continue offering value while staying in your budget.
Yeah, there's a lot of great tips in there. I think reaching out to suppliers is tricky in the beginning. We don't want to, like, our mistake too, it was, if I had to be honest, was we were sounded like complete newbies. Like you said, we were emailing all about the wrong way. And then once you learn these little tricks and stuff, it helps out. Is there a specific headline or under subject line, I should say, what you're using that would help to get their attention?
Yeah, I just say, before I used to put the quantity that I wanted to order, like I'd say like a 50-piece order. But now I just say purchase order, just plain and simple.
Purchase order.
And everyone wants to sell something. And when they open your email, is when they see, but I don't give all the information in the first email because I really want to get on that call. If in the first email you tell them, hey, I only want to order 50 pieces, they're probably not going to answer you. Mm-hmm. Get on that call, sell yourself first. When you're a small brand, you want to sell yourself and your story first, and then hopefully pull out their heartstrings and then they'll sell you those 50 units. I've had so many people who are huge brands who just like who I am and the direction I'm going, and they decide to lower their purchase order minimums for me just because it works. It is possible, but you just have to try to get that call first without putting too much information in the intro email.
Yeah, I love that what you said, purchase order under the subject line. We found out what worked for us was bulk order inquiry, something very kind of vague.
Yeah.
But gets their attention, right? And that's worked for us. And I think you're building that relationship with the supplier. If you can get a phone call with them, try to hop on a call. It's a lot easier than emails. And then when you get that person on the phone, kind of talking, like whether it's a Zoom call face-to-face or just voice-to-voice on a regular phone call, it's amazing because you can sell yourself. And whether you like it or not, folks, when you got a subscription box company, you're in sales. You got to sell not only your product, you got to sell yourself. Exactly. And make these connections and relationships with suppliers. And that's how you can negotiate. So now let's talk about negotiating and how you can negotiate, because in the beginning, you don't have the clout or the power to say, if you're ordering 50 or 100 pieces, to say, I really want to pay this price to get your margins better. But you mentioned something in the beginning, long-term negotiation.
Yeah. So right before I go into that, I'm going to just add one thing to the previous point, which is attending trade shows if you can afford it. Hmm. So in the first year, I used to just go to the beauty trade shows that came to Canada. So I would go to the ones in Montreal or Toronto, or just hop on the bus in Montreal, or just some of them in Toronto. They're mainly downtown and I live downtown. So it's really important to have that face-to-face connection as well, because people like to put a face to a name and a face to a story. So if you're able to go there, you know, talk to them, that's what they're there for. When brands go to trade shows, it's not to just be there. They're there to acquire new accounts, and you can be one of their accounts depending on what minimum. So the way you speak to them, the way you carry yourself. There was a time where I went to a huge trade show in the States, and I found that like I just had no success. So the second time I brought in my male friend, and weirdly enough, he was getting way more connections than I was. I look a bit young. I've kind of given my age, but I'm 25. He was 32. So he was a lot more advanced in negotiations. He was a lot more primed to sales. So he was doing a better job than me. So if you have a friend who's willing to help, you do that. And all I had to do was pay for his ticket. He figured everything else, his accommodation and everything. And he helped me out that way. So if there's so many different ways that you can get those connections, but you really have to hustle when you're starting.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think we've had a couple of guys. Hiral Zalavadia was on the show. He's from Stately. He mentioned that's a huge tool. There was another one too that mentioned how just going up to trade shows and shaking hands is the best way.
Yeah,
and you learn, like you're going to fail. And if you can't afford to pay someone else's other ticket, that's fine. But learn from them other ways. And just by maybe doing it and just kind of pay attention to how people present themselves at those trade shows. And just be genuine. I think if you're a genuine person and you don't necessarily fake it till you make it, because I don't like that. But I think you just got to be a professional, be assertive, be confident in what you're doing, know that you got a great product and you got something.
Yeah. And repeat that pitch over and over and over again.
Yes.
Like any questions you think they could ask you, have answers to them. Look them in the eye. When you don't make eye contact, you look less sure of yourself. Just like little tips like that. Obviously dress properly, get a suit, borrow a suit if you have to.
Yeah.
Look great and, you know, look professional. So yeah, back to negotiations.
Yes.
I think that brands like long-term agreements. So if, let's say at the beginning of the year, they know that they're going to be in three of your boxes, say 50, 75, 100 pieces each, and you can space that out, let's say 3 months. So January, then you can do June, then you can do December. They know that you're in for the long-term, put in your purchase order, you know, confirm that, putting a deposit if you can. If you can't, work out payment terms. I used to pay for everything up front until someone offered me a payment term. I didn't know what a net 30 was. Literally, it's just so ridiculous. Until a brand actually offered it to me. And I was amazing. Oh, wait, this would be amazing for my cash flow. So ever since then, I don't work with any brands that don't give me net 30, because like, come on, I'm not going to run away with your money. I can give you all my referrals and things like that.
That's
but true. It helps with your cash flow, you know? So by the time you finish selling your box, you'll have all that money in the bank and you can pay them comfortably. So negotiations, brands are looking for long-term. They're looking for how it's going to benefit their brand. So when I first started, I used to just say, hey, I have 5,000 people on my email list. I'll do a special email, a dedicated email just for you. If you have a coupon code, I'll even print the coupon code out of my expense and put it in the box for you. Just little add-ons like that that don't really cost you anything. If in a month, usually other boxes will go on Instagram Live once, tell them you do it three times just to help them out, get their brand name out there. At the end of the day, as long as you're covering their cost and giving them some sort of advertisement, that's all they're really looking for.
Yeah, those are great tips there again. Just full of them, dropping gold here. So did it ever happen to you? So let's say you negotiate some terms, 50, 75, like you mentioned that example, and 100, where you fall short and do you have to eat that? Or is it something where you negotiate, where you come back to them and say, hey, listen, we actually failed. We went 50, 75 and 60. And then what happens with those other 40?
So what I do, I always think about Black Friday. So this is something I wasn't thinking about earlier on in the year. So what I actually do now, I'm not even sure if I should be saying this, is that on top of every PO, I add more. I add more for mystery boxes. I add more for upsells. So if a customer comes on your website, right, and they buy a box, how about you use those leftover quantities that you have to create a mystery box? And let's say that mystery box costs you $15 for your product cost, and you sell your box for $35 slash $5 out of that. You get rid of the product, you make some profit, and you sell some more to the customer. So upsells are something that I didn't incorporate into my website up until early this year, which is crazy. Again, I didn't know anything about them. So now at checkout, after you buy my box, I give you the option to add on more things. So you increase your order average value. That product that you have left over is gone. And your customer gets even more things. They get more value for their money. That's how I've been able to kind of get rid of those products and Black Friday. On Black Friday, I always do a liquidation sale where I basically sell things for as little as possible, just maybe 50% on top of my cost. And it gets rid of the product. Customers pay for shipping, they pay for handling. And my warehouse is empty again to start again for the new year. So that plus mystery boxes plus upsells, those are the ways that you should get. I feel like it's more important for you to keep that relationship with your brand, then go back and be like, hey, we actually only need 60 when you have so many strategies of actually letting that product go. And oh, lastly, you can use the product for a gift with purchase. You can tell people, hey, say you had the product in March, keep it up until October and use it in your October advertising for a gift with purchase. That way you're using that to acquire customers. And that's probably the cheapest way to acquire customers, which is with a gift that probably costs you like less than $10.
Yeah, they work great. It's a great promotional thing for sure. So, oh man, Billy, there's a lot to digest for the listeners. There's some great stuff. Yeah, but you can tell you're a student of the industry and it shows it. It's a lot of work. It just takes experience and some time to learn these things. So with that, Billy, I'm ready to head over to the unboxing round. Are you ready?
Me too. Yeah.
Billy, what is the most frequently asked question you get asked from your customers?
Why are you a Canadian subscription, but you charge in US dollars?
Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, because if I buy something for one US dollar, of course I'm going to sell it for one US dollar. It doesn't make sense to convert it to Canadian because I'll be losing out on the conversion if the Canadian dollar drops, which it has been doing for the past couple of years. That's my only reason.
Yeah. And do you ship to the States as well?
Yeah, we actually have 90% of our customers in the States, which is another reason why it's US dollar.
Yeah, it's funny just to kind of go off of that. Our company, like we're in Canada as well. Obviously, Louis and Leia is in Canada. We charge by default in US dollars as well for those exact reasons. But
yeah.
Yeah, so it makes sense to me. If you could hire anyone as your mentor or coach, Billy, who would it be and why?
Probably the CEOs of Kinder Beauty Box. They do a really great job at their like number one quality free box. They're very, very true to their messaging, very creative. I like them a lot.
Free shipping or paid shipping?
Free shipping. Another mistake I made, I didn't incorporate shipping in my price. So it's an added cost, which is terrible.
Whoops.
So always free shipping, but include it in your cost.
Yeah. What website platform do you currently use? You mentioned Shopify. What's the...
Yes, Shopify.
And
I've also just started on Amazon subscriptions and that's doing pretty good.
Okay, that's good to know. And what's powering your current payment? Is it Recharge or is it Bold?
Recharge.
What is one thing you know now, Billy, that you wish you would have known when you first started Tribe Beauty Box?
Always send purchase orders and payment term contracts, because there was a time I did not send a purchase order and I thought an email thread was enough of evidence. So I paid, I sent a wire transfer and I never got my product.
Hey. That's a tough lesson to learn for sure. Who is the most influential person that you know in the subscription box industry?
It's hard to say because they're a competitor, but I really look up to the growth of, not competitor, they're just like a beauty box as well. I look up to the growth of like FabFitFun and BoxyCharm, brands like that.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with those. Yeah. Some giants for sure in the industry. If there was one type of product or subscription box you would say to stay clear of, what would it be and why?
Oh, I found out about a box that was for like prepping. It's like getting ready for the end of the world. And I just thought like, it's interesting, but it's also like weird. Like you have to be in a very unique mind space to get a subscription box to get you ready for the end of the world.
Yeah, but there's probably a large enough niche there that people are just consuming that, especially with what's
going on. Yeah, the boxes are like $1,500 a month, a quarter, something like that.
Oh, $1,500 a quarter?
Yeah, I heard about them at Subscription Box Summit.
Wow, that's crazy. Okay, what is your favorite subscription box, either as a customer or as a company you look up to?
I like any snack subscription box, anything that has to do with snacks and also trying out new things from like different countries of the world. I like those kind of boxes. Again, nice. Discovery.
Yep. Anything in the mix coming up with Tribe Beauty Box that you would like to share with the listeners?
Not immediately.
When this is going to be airing, we're going to be close to Black Friday. So just look out maybe for Black Friday and Christmas sales coming up with your...
Yeah. So Black Friday and Christmas sales are going to be pretty big. We have a lot of collaborations coming up. We're working on an advent calendar, like really fun things like that.
Just a follow-up question on that. Do you think there's one percentage in your experience over the last few years using Black Friday and Christmas to propel the fourth quarter? Is there one kind of percentage that works typically well and one that did not as a discount?
What works well for us for Black Friday are discounted prepaid plans. So people gift those, they get them for themselves or their Christmas gifts ahead of time. So that's great.
Is there like a percentage, like whether, you know, you found out that 25 did not work, but 50 did or something like that?
Well, you don't have much discounts that you can offer, to be honest, just because of your margins, but we've always done just like 20%.
Okay. And that works. So that's fine, right?
Yeah.
What is your favorite social media platform?
Twitter, just because it's a different world and it's hilarious.
The best place for our listeners to connect with either yourself or with Tribe Beauty Box?
Our Instagram is at Tribe Beauty Box, Facebook Tribe Beauty Box, TikTok Tribe Beauty Box. Best place to connect with me is by email. My email is create@tribebeautybox.com.
Perfect. And actually, I'm just getting into TikTok. I'm just kind of reserved my real estate. I just actually this past week recorded an interview with a TikTok growth hacker and expert, and he's going to share with us in the shortly here. I don't know which one's going to air first, but look for the TikTok episode, how to grow your TikTok account for your subscription box coming up soon. So
that's awesome. I actually went viral on TikTok. I got like 900,000 views on the video, but then I took it down because it was just really scary to have that many views. It was my personal TikTok, so it was really scary.
Which is something he actually suggests using as a personal brand. And then you can have links with your businesses. But yeah, it'll be an interesting, it's an interesting topic. And it was a fascinating interview. So I can't wait to share that. Awesome. Finally, Billy, before we say goodbye and sign off, I do have one last thing to ask of you. Would you like to leave our listeners with one final parting piece of advice?
Yeah, definitely. I think that when people run businesses, they focus more on their business and they focus on themselves. And one thing I always tell people is that your business can't improve if you're not improving. So keep self-development at the center of everything you do. You can get on a million Zoom calls with agencies and consultants to improve your business. But if you're not improving, so you're not taking the time to learn new things, then you can't improve. So I actually dedicate my Sundays to learning. So I don't do any work at all. I just read all the articles that came into my inbox for the week. I do some research, fine tune my skills. And I also work on my personal self-development because I also have a life outside of the business. So I think that's really important. Just don't let go of yourself while you're chasing your dream.
Yeah, that's just so well said. I couldn't agree with you more. I love self-development. I think it's a part we all have to do. I know we're all busy. We're all doing these things, but you have to fit it in because success has a language and the people you want to interact with and network with talk a certain way. And if you stick out like a sore thumb, if people can tell if you put time into yourself as well, right?
Yeah, they can.
Yeah. Well, with that, Billy, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the Subscription Box Show.
Thank you so much, Eric.
Yeah, I really appreciate your time. This was fun. Yeah, this was fun. And I think you've dropped a lot of knowledge for the listeners. So really appreciate it. And thank you so much.
Of course. You're welcome.
Cheers. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune into this episode of the Subscription Box Show. If you didn't realize the power of information and resources that are out there before, you do now. Billy broke down exactly what she did to grow her business from zero to thousands and with only $300. So if you felt this episode helped you, then please go ahead and share it with everyone you know that could learn and grow from it. If you want more information from Billy and Tribe Beauty Box, then make sure to check them out at tribebeautybox.com. And don't forget to use the special discount code Billy has given the listeners of this show, TSBS10, for 10% off. Or simply check out the show notes with all the links and information you'll need. If you want to connect with me and leave me some comments, questions, or feedback, or if you have any ideas for future shows, or would like to hear from a specific subscription box you like, hit me up on the website or send me an email, eric@thesubscriptionboxshow.com. Finally, make sure to join the new Facebook group called The Subscription Box Show Facebook group, where we will be giving away prizes to the most engaged members of October. Thanks again for listening. I'm your host, Eric Music. And remember, words can inspire, thoughts can provoke, but only action truly brings you closer to your dreams.
That's all for this episode of The Subscription Box Show. But your next unboxing is only a few clicks away. Head over to thesubscriptionboxshow.com to connect with your host on social media or book a call to give your input on today's episode and what topics you'd like to see covered in future episodes of The Subscription Box Show. Remember, don't be afraid of change. Be afraid of standing still.